In lieu of Total Eclipse Day, we are talking a little dark web with CSCU Director of Payments Lou Grilli, and specifically we're talking about how credit unions can make their members' data less valuable on the dark web. You got to check this one out. We have Lou Grilli here from CSCU. How are you, Lou?
Doing fine on this Eclipse Day.
It is. Oh, hang on a second. Hang on a second, Lou. The eclipse. Sorry, Lou. Well, I'm going to have to do it. It's the eclipse here in San Diego. It's happening right now. So it'll pass here in a few seconds. Hang on a second here. Oh, we're back. Oh, whew, man, that was close. Sorry about that. You can't
and
stop
speaking
Mother
of
Nature.
Going, speaking of going dark.
We're talking about the dark web today.
Yeah.
Indeed. And you wrote a very interesting blog post on the Payments Review, which everyone should go check out, by the way. How credit unions can make their members' data less valuable on the dark web. And just the correlations here with the eclipse and the dark web and all this type of stuff is just unbelievable today. So, but for a quick refresher, give us a quick refresher on the dark web for those who might
all right,
be
first,
still
let me
in
tell
the
you how I got. Sure. Let me tell you how I just got kind of involved in this. A couple of you've probably seen commercials. Experian offers a service where they monitor the dark web. Discover is doing the same thing, and there's a number of others that promise to monitor the dark web to see if your name or your credentials or your ID mm-hmm. comes up on the dark web, and then they'll alert you about it. And so I had a number of people who know that I'm in this industry coming up to me and saying, "What is the dark web?"
Yeah.
And I'm not a security expert by any means, but I do know about the dark web from my security colleagues. That is the place where when all these cards that were stolen in major breaches from the major retailers, when they become available, they are put on the dark web for other fraudsters to purchase and then turn into either counterfeit cards or use for online mm-hmm. purchases, et cetera. Mm-hmm. And so that's where, and also skimmers that people buy, that bad people buy,
yes.
and put on gas pumps and ATMs. Skimmers can be bought on the dark web also. So I had to do a deep dive on the dark web because it's just fascinating that there's this whole thing that's out there that has this ominous name mm-hmm, to it, the mm-hmm. dark web. And so I got into it and then wrote about it.
It's amazing. I mean, it just sounds so sinister. So, I mean, it's like, it's obviously something that's a little scary and just, it's still a mystery to a lot of people out there. So I'm glad that you kind of, you and a lot of other folks have brought it to the light, so to speak. And so, I mean, so I think the big question here and kind of connecting the dots with credit unions is how can credit unions make member card data less valuable on the dark web? And you had 5 points on this, and if you want to go through them, that would be absolutely stellar, sir.
Sure. But just before I get into that, I do want to talk just for a second about what is the dark web.
Yeah.
It's not a separate web. And if anybody can go back in time to the days of Napster and Aimster, in order to, in those days, just download illegal music and movies, then you had to go and get special software that mm-hmm. you downloaded to your computer. And then from there, you could share your movies, your music. And so it was on the regular internet. You used your regular computer to access it. But it was separate and was only accessible from this specific software that you downloaded. That's what the dark web is all about. And the software that is needed to be downloaded is called Tor, T-O-R. Mm-hmm. And it can be downloaded from many sites. And I highly advise that nobody who's listening to this podcast ever do that. Because as soon as you do, you will be tracked, both by the bad guys who are interested in another computer on the network that they could possibly infiltrate, but also by governments, mm-hmm. multiple governments,
yeah.
who are looking at what kind of traffic's going on there. But it's software that's downloaded, and then once downloaded, now you can access marketplaces. And this is where I just became really fascinated by it. These marketplaces, if you've ever been on eBay mm-hmm. and you see all these things for sale, used items, like everything from skis to car parts to whatever you could think of, it is like that. It's a marketplace where buyers rate sellers. I found this so ironic. Because the buyers and the sellers are both bad guys, and yet they're rating. Some of the comments that I found was delivered as promised, or thanks, software worked the first time. The software they're referring to is Yay. Malware that they purchased to download onto the point of sale in order to steal the software, or like this ransomware. You heard about the WannaCry ransomware that was downloaded and pretty widespread. The sellers, the buyers are rating the sellers. The sellers get ratings on these marketplaces. And for Alphabay, Silk Road, a lot of the names that have popped up in the news lately. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they get shut down, they pop up again just as quickly. So there is a lot of marketplaces that are out there that sell all sorts of things like guns and drugs and malware and jewels. credit card and debit card numbers, skimmers, all this stuff. Services, there's also available for services. One of them, I made a reference to this in the article. If you have a test coming up at school, mm-hmm. you can purchase on one of these marketplaces a service that will call in a bomb threat on the day and time that you need to call into the school. All this stuff is available on the dark web.
My God, it sounds like those reviews. It sounds like Yelp reviews for for malware. It's like, hey,
it's
this worked great.
Guys, yes. Yeah.
Oh my gosh. I mean, it's just nutty how things are just going around and around. So let's kind of connect the dots here to credit unions. I mean, so how can credit unions protect our data, because it's always at risk?
The first thing that really struck me is the level of sophistication of the bad guys, the fraudsters that are stealing the cards either from skimmers or from large data breaches. And they even have lists of bins that have not been enabled for EMV. In other words, bins that have not been made into chip cards. And those ones are more valuable than bins that have been EMV enabled. So the fraudsters are able to, if they steal cards and the cards are within the bin mm-hmm. that have not been reissued as chip cards, those are more valuable. So those can be turned into counterfeit cards mm-hmm. and used at gas pumps or at Best Buy to buy electronics or Walmart to buy gift cards, yeah. laundered, et cetera. The ones that have been made into chip cards then are kind of limited to being used online for e-commerce, fraudulent e-commerce transactions. But credit unions that have not enabled all of their bins for EMV, and there's still a number of them out there, need to do that. And that is the biggest step that will make their cards less valuable okay. on the dark web.
Very cool. Very cool.
The second thing is tokenizing bins. Different step. EMV is the chip that's in the card that you know, when you have, now we have to insert our cards. Tokenization means the cards are now available to be used in Apple Pay and Samsung Pay and Android Pay and Visa checkout and MasterPass and all these things that, rather than typing your card number into an e-commerce site, mm-hmm. You're using a Visa checkout, or you're sliding your fingerprint across your phone because you're buying something in-app on Best Buy's iPhone app, etc. But in order to do that, the financial institution has to tokenize their bins. Credit unions are in the middle of doing that. We have maybe like a quarter of our members who have their bins tokenized. Mm-hmm. And we just started a mass enablement program to get a lot more credit unions on board with that. But that's definitely the second one.
Okay.
Third, and I'm just gonna, and everybody can go and read these steps in a little more
I'll
detail.
I'll have the link to the show notes in there.
So monitor and be quick to react. If you, somebody in your staff is looking at authorizations that don't have a follow-up settlement, that's probably a good sign that fraudsters now have a couple of cards, they've turned into counterfeit cards, they're probably at a gas pump, and they're sliding the card in, and if the card allows them to buy gas, they don't buy anything with it, they just mm-hmm. want to make sure that card is available for use, and then they move on to the next card, and the next card, and the next card. A whole bunch of authorizations with no settlement, meaning they're testing out the cards for bigger purchases. If you see a lot of authorizations with no settlement, sure sign that there's going to be fraud on those cards later.
Okay, gotcha.
And then be quick to react. As soon as the card brands issue their CAMS alert or their ADCs, be quick to go in, investigate, and shut down those cards as quickly as possible mm-hmm. to prevent first fraud from happening, or if fraud has already happened, to minimize any further fraud.
Well, that's both sides. That's both from the credit union and the member. I mean, doesn't the member have to like jump on the stick too and shut down that card as quick as possible as well? Or
yeah, so the member doesn't see the CAMS alert coming Visa, MasterCard, American Express, Discover. But now you bring me to the fifth point, is that credit unions need to be responsible for educating members, and members need to be smart about what they do with their card. Ideally, use credit instead of debit when they're out on sites that they don't have experience with, that they don't trust. Make sure that you're signed up to receive purchase alerts on your cards, mm-hmm. Things that you can, and then be quick to respond to when you get the message from your issuer saying, just found a transaction. This just happened to me last week. I was up traveling in New York, New Jersey, and just went to make a purchase, just a pretty small purchase, but that's not within, I just landed, made a purchase, and I got the alert from my issuer. Did you really make this? Yes. Good. And then I can move
up. All the time too. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So be quick
to respond
to that.
Yep. So be quick to respond to that type of stuff. So because if you don't, what will happen? Will they shut down the card if you don't respond to it, or?
Hopefully they do decline the transaction and shut down the card so that no further fraud happens.
Right.
Especially if it's a debit card, I don't want my my shared draft account to be drained because somebody got hold of my debit card.
No doubt.
So yes.
Okay.
But then if I'm not responding to that, I'm not checking my email, or I'm not signed up for text messages. Maybe I miss that, and then I go to use my card later, and now I'm not able to use it.
It's not gonna work. Yeah, that happens to me every time I forget to let my credit union know that I'm going to be traveling, or the card that I use, let that know. I mean, I always get that alert, especially it happened to me when I was overseas earlier this summer. It's like, what are you doing in, Timbuktu, So we took care of that. So very cool. So, I mean, why is this stuff so important right now, Lou? Because it seems like we're just barely one step ahead of the fraudsters. So this stuff is vitally important to follow.
Yes, and that's why these services are popping up, offering to monitor the dark web to make sure that your identity comes up, your social security number shows up, or your name and address and other identifying information shows up, that you get alerted, because it is big business. I just saw a stat, the $1.2 billion just from one of the marketplaces. If the amount of money that's transferred on the dark web was equivalent to the GDP, it would be the 20th largest country in the world.
Wow.
And so there is a lot of money involved in it. You know, that brought me, I was wondering, so I see all these services that are monitoring. I also know that the card brands, the large processors, all have people who are monitoring the dark web as well, just to try to stay one step ahead of the, or at least stay up with the fraudsters and be quick to react. So if all these people are monitoring the dark web, then if all this light is being shown on the dark web, just to continue our puns here, then why does it still say in operation? Because there's so much money involved. And that's the big thing.
Is there a lot, I mean, this is maybe a little bit off topic here, but a lot of these financial transactions, are they done through Bitcoin, or is there some other currency that's going on there?
So a lot of the marketplaces they post prices in USD, but they only accept Bitcoin as the currency. A couple of them accept a few other cryptocurrencies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Bitcoin works because it allows the buyer and the seller to remain anonymous from each other.
Yeah. And that's where it gets the negative connotation, because of these fraudulent activities that's going on there. So it's kind of getting a bad name out there. So
exactly.
Because I remember when blockchain was kind of first coming out, and then Bitcoin was linked to it, and like, oh my gosh, should we go to blockchain? Because, well, Bitcoin's on the dark web and it's doing all sorts of sinister things. And so there was that scare in the beginning, but now people have been educated and it's not really, not really so, but, yeah. So, all right. Well, good stuff. Any final advice here, Lou, to wrap up here? I mean, this is definitely a topic that's not going to go away anytime soon. Actually, I think it's going to get hotter and hotter as time goes on. So any other final advice for credit unions here to wrap up?
Just credit unions, keep on top of things. Make sure that you have somebody in your staff that's cognizant about security, or keeping in touch with whoever you use for your brand, whoever you use for your processor, and being alert to the bulletins that are coming out, the issues, stay on top of the news. Again, educate your members on what's going on. Make sure they understand that using the credit card, debit card, you're still safe from doing it. Don't be afraid to use your credit card, debit card. But be smart about what you do. Don't click on links that you don't recognize.
Mm-hmm.
Even if they're links from people you know, those might have been dummy messages or phishing messages.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of things that credit unions need to do to educate their members to keep them safe.
Yeah, even like up in the URL, look for HTTPS. S means it's secure, right? Is that pretty standard, or?
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right, because I'm always looking for that stuff when I'm doing any online purchases. So very cool. Well, Lou, thank you so much, sir, for always giving us a great education on this type of stuff. I know you're always kind of on the, pardon the 90s term, but you're on the cutting edge of this type of stuff. So we appreciate you, and let's have you back on and talk about more stuff that's going on. All right.
Sounds good. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good. Happy Eclipse Day to you.
Same to you.
All right.